I just want to go on the record as saying that that gospel passage was the one that was already appointed for this day. A gospel where Jesus stands before the temple and tells the crowds that everything that they know to be permanent and safe will be torn down. Not one stone left on another. You will hear of insurrections. There will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. And you look at what we just read and think about the week that we've just experienced, and you might think that the end is near. Jesus guy seems to have a pretty good bead on what's going on. Now, as I begin today, I need to acknowledge where we are and who we are. I think it's an important thing for me to do most of the time, to try to embrace both sides of most stories, recognizing that we are all God's children. But if this congregation is typical of Montclair, 88% of you are not happy with what happened on Tuesday. 88%. God bless those of you who are in the other on the other section with the rest of the country. We are with you. We want to walk with you. We'll be with you. But I think today it is important to talk to what is most likely that 88%. And what I have to say, I think, is valid for all of us. Many of us are hurt and scared and angry with what we think lies ahead. But remember, our higher calling is to work together going forward to live into the gospel. And we all need to remember that neither gloating nor despair are Christian virtues. And what we should all do is clear. We are called to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This was true before the election. This is more true today. That is the greater truth in which we are called to respond. Because nothing has really changed yet. We're certain that it will. And this was true regardless of the outcome of Tuesday's election. There was going to be change. It was going to happen. However, right now, the difference is that most of us are fearful about what the future holds. The man elected as our president has shown himself to be misogynistic, racist, brutal, anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, and sexually offensive. We cannot tolerate this kind of behavior in our president or from anyone else. This is not loving our neighbor as ourselves. And as we watch what's going on around the country, I'm not sure protesting the election will really do anything. Trump was elected by the democratic process that has served this country fairly well for the better part of 240 years. And the protests are not focused on much other than the hatred of the person who was elected. And if love trumps hate, that is not the right answer. And we also must know that were the outcome different, there would be protests on the other side. What I think we need to think about is both our part in how we got to where we are and how that informs us going forward and what we are called to do going forward, because we are going forward from this place. And the first piece of this, I think, is to recognize that we share in the responsibility of this outcome. Our inability to hear the pain and suffering in much of the country has led to some level of collective complacency. Our general homogeny of thought allows us to believe that this is how everyone thinks. We seem to have responded to that pain that many feel with arrogance. We missed the boat. We probably did not do everything that we could have done to create a different outcome if that is what we really wanted. I know I didn't. I talked about going to Pennsylvania, where I know many of you did go to work on the election, to work on the campaign. I went on Monday. It was too late. Settled differently than we thought. And this is why Jesus reminds us to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and our whole being. Because if we have ever felt like we have done enough for the gospel, we haven't. There is always more to do in serving God. Living generously does not mean giving a little bit here and there. It means giving more. It means something more. And among the things that we need to do going forward from this place is listening differently. Our bubble of belief prevents us from seeing the things that are wrong with this world, partly because we want to believe that they're not there. The misogyny, racism, prejudices that minorities and minority groups feel is very, very real. And some of the most disturbing stories that we have heard since the election are some of the truly hateful things that have been done to blacks, to Muslims, to LGBTQI folks. Their fear is real, and we must speak and act out against these actions. I mean, if we are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we need to help make that fear go away. We need to be more ready and willing to stand up with everyone who was made in the image of God. We need to listen better so we can hear where that fear and pain comes from and fight for the social change that makes them safer, because that will make us safer. And while I'm not ready to protest the outcome of the election, I am ready, as we all should be, to stand up to anyone and everyone who is looking to take away any human rights and create injustice. We need to ensure the equality and dignity of every human being. We need to welcome the stranger and have compassion for the poor and be good stewards of the world that's at our hands. And if we want guidance about what to do and how to do it, I want to take us back to next week and the baptismal covenant that we shared as we invited 6 people into this congregation of faith. Our baptismal covenant that tells us how we are supposed to live our faith. Remember, our gospel story today ends with the promise that not a hair of your head will perish. Not going to help me much, but not a hair of your head will perish, but we will gain our souls. And while we may feel despair, that is perhaps when we're most called to act in faith, when we're most called to respond to the world in a Christ-like manner. So this baptismal covenant, it has 5 questions. 5 questions in which our response to each and every one is, I will with God's help. Say that with me just once. I will with God's help. We're going to come back to that. The first one is, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of the breads and the prayers? This is where it starts, friends. It starts with turning to God and recognizing the light that comes from that. It starts with sharing a meal at this table together. Sharing a meal together at this table with those with whom we disagree and those with whom we agree. It starts with being fed and nourished by the love of God, which calls us forward into the world, which gives us to the second question, will you persevere in resisting evil? You bet. We have already seen evil done. The harassment and assaults that have taken place are not who we are. They do not represent even the majority of the folks who supported Donald Trump. And we have to protect those who are vulnerable. The third question is, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God and Christ? We can live into this in so many ways. One of the things that I think many of us think will change are some of the social support structures that are in place to support those who are vulnerable, those who are poor, those who are less fortunate. Our work, our responsibility in feeding the poor may become even more important. We will do this work with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? This is your white neighbor, your black neighbor, your Hispanic neighbor, your Muslim neighbor, your Jewish neighbor, your Buddhist neighbor, your Trump-supporting neighbor. Every single one of them is who we are called to love and who we are called to support. And finally, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? We are called to live into grace by loving every person who we encounter, even those with whom we disagree. We are called to fight for justice for those who cannot fight for themselves. In Christ, there is no east or west. We are all one. And that is what we need to show. And that is how we need to live. So back to what the response is to each one of these questions. I will, with God's help. We will not be doing this work alone. So I want you to respond like that to these five quick questions I've got for you. Will you feed the poor? I will, with God's help. Will you speak the truth? Will you protect the vulnerable? Will you proclaim God's grace? Will you keep working? I will, with God's help. This is not the end. This is the beginning. Amen.